What's up, guys? Coach Steve here, and welcome back to another episode of the Challenge Podcast. And in today's episode, I'm joined with one of the Maxine's top 10 finalists, Jess Chettlebarrer. Jess, welcome to the Challenge Podcast.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me.
I'm so excited to spend a little bit of time chatting to you about your experiences with the challenge. But, you know, Jess, just a few days ago, you found out that you were in the Maxine top 10. What has the past couple of days been like for you?
Really exciting, actually. I didn't really ever think that I would achieve such a result. Having done 3 challenges this year, it was very exciting to get that sort of a result.
Yeah, and your result just blew us all away. You should be so proud of the effort that you put in.
Yeah, I am.
Now, Jess, you know, you've done a few challenges with us and I've read your bio a few times and I know a little bit about you, but there might be some people listening who might not know who you are. So would you like to start by telling us maybe, you know, where you're from, what you do for work, and who is Jess?
Sure. So I'm 38 years old. I live in Albury, which is in regional New South Wales, with my husband and our 2 boys. So my eldest boy is 4. My youngest is about 13 months now. I'm a paralegal. I haven't actually returned back to work since having my 2nd son. Also studying a Bachelor of Law online part-time. So life is pretty hectic.
Yeah, I can imagine. Lots of full-on things going on.
Yeah.
So you've got 2 children. One's 4, one's 13 months.
Correct.
So Jess, my next question comes about why. So I'd like to know a little bit of a story about why you chose to start the challenge. And I guess my first question is, you've done a few challenges with us. How many challenges have you done?
I'm pretty sure that I've entered into 7 over the years, having done my first one in 2014, which I didn't complete. I think I pulled out at around week 9. Mm-hmm. And then in 2015, I joined up again, but fell pregnant. So I didn't complete that one. 2017, I did 2, finished in top 50 in one of those, mm-hmm. and then 3 this year.
Then 3 this year. Okay. So if you were able to jump in a little time machine and go back to the very first challenge you did in 2014, I believe, can you speak a little bit about why you chose to start that very first challenge, if you remember the little time machine from back then?
Yeah. So I think I was just at a time in my life where I'd let health and fitness sort of be put on the back burner somewhat. I had a fairly active childhood. I've always been involved in sports and that sort of thing, but I'd been through a period in 2014 where I hadn't really been involved much in health and fitness. So for me at that point, it was really about trying to get back into that headspace and back into that environment to improve my health and fitness and lose a bit of weight, really. I was never huge, but didn't feel comfortable and wanted to sort of reduce fat.
Yeah. Now, a bit of a broader question, what brought you back to the challenge? What brought you to do 3 challenges this year? Like, what was it about the challenge or what was it about fitness that made you want to keep on going?
Well, I know it works, this process, and I really enjoy it. I haven't tried any other similar challenges, but having done the challenge before, I knew that there was a lot of help and support online through the forum, through the Facebook page. I was familiar with the type of food and the type of training that would be offered, which suited me. And yeah, obviously having received good results in the past, I knew that it worked.
Yeah. So the next question here is about challenges. So every person's going to face their own unique challenges while completing the challenge. Could you speak about some of the challenges that you may have faced over your, I guess, challenge career, doing a few challenges with us now?
So I guess my biggest challenge generally is mindset. I'm fairly okay with training. Training is probably my favorite part just because I love being active. I love the way training makes me feel. It's a bit of a release. Nutrition, again, pretty good in the kitchen, pretty efficient with doing meal prep, that sort of thing. I'm happy to eat bland food, although you can make it taste really good and still be challenge approved. But mindset is the thing that always drags me down. So I'm a fairly competitive person. And very much results driven. Mm-hmm. I usually find that at around week 4 and week 8 when we do the check-ins that I'm a bit dissatisfied with the result at that point. And I go through this process of thinking, should I quit? It's not working. Maybe I'm not doing enough. And it takes me a while to sort of get over that and get through it and realize that if I quit now, I'm not actually going to get any closer to my goal. It's going to pull me further away. And usually after a day or so, then I sort of crack back in and really try and focus on the finish line. But it is something that happens even after doing several challenges. I go through that process several times throughout a challenge.
Yeah, okay. So that idea of wanting to quit, wanting to give up just keeps creeping its way back into your mind, right?
Yeah.
How would you describe it? Is it something like a bit of this self-talk that comes into your head where it's like, oh, I'm not good enough for this, or I'm not worthy? Or is it a little bit of like, oh, I can't achieve this? Or is it something else? Like, could you speak a little bit more about what kind of creeps in? Like, what feelings do you have when you're in that state?
Yeah. So it's very much a, I feel like I'm working really hard, I'm doing what I need to do, but the result's not there. So it's very much a, oh, well, maybe you're just not working hard enough. Even though you're finding it hard, everyone else is probably working harder. Mm-hmm. And if you're not getting the result that you want, it's sort of like, why keep doing the same thing if you're not getting results? It seems crazy to continue on this path if this path hasn't yet led me to where I want to be. But what I've learned is that I'm a bit of a slow burner. And generally speaking, throughout a challenge, I don't see good results early on. Mm-hmm. But within the last couple of weeks, they seem to sort of magic their way up. So
yeah, yeah. Well, like what you just explained is so common within not only the challenge, but within fitness as well. And all it takes is one scroll down Instagram lane to kind of see all these beautiful people that are fit and healthy. And you're kind of like, well, why don't I look like that? Right. And I guess it doesn't help in the challenge when our top 10 finalists are people in these amazing transformations and you see them, you're like, oh, wow, look what they achieved in 12 weeks. But that's the problem, is that it's not a process of just 12 weeks. And I think someone like your story highlights that, where you've tried multiple challenges, you've built up skills and developed, you know, processes and routines and habits over years of focused effort. And that's what it is. It's this slow burn of change. And I think we live in a world of instant gratification, right? We want that diet pill. We want that 6 weeks and everything's gone. But we need to remember that it might have taken years to develop those habits that put you in a position where you might not be happy with your body. And really this comes down to this survivorship bias, where those people who really make the top 10 are such a small percentage of the population, right? You know, if there's thousands of people that go to the gym, only a few percentage of those people in 12 weeks are able to shred and, you know, look like a bodybuilder, but then you don't know their story. You don't know the years of effort that they've put in, right? So it's a common mindset that we get into now. And heck, I get into that mindset where every day I'm doing something fitness related. I work in the industry. I help people in the healthcare industry with my other work that I do. And it's even times I give up where I'm like, oh, what am I doing this for? I'm not seeing any change in my body. Like, hey, look on Instagram, there's someone that's been lifting for a year and they're, you know, stronger than I am, or they've got more of a six pack. I'm like, well, what's this all for, right? But then it kind of goes into that next level where we don't do it for those reasons. We do it for other reasons. And you've kind of alluded to it already, where the training side of things is like your outlet, right? Mm-hmm. The food side of things, you know that good food makes you feel good. So what starts off as a, oh, I'm not happy with my body, ends up into this space where we go, hey, I exercise and I do the challenge and I live the fit lifestyle because of how it makes me feel. So could you speak a little bit about how maybe your reason why kind of shifted over the years? So maybe you went through a similar journey where you started the challenge because you might not have been happy with your body. You may have had a few children along the way, but then now, you know, you might be doing the challenge for different reasons. So could you speak a little bit about how the reason why may have changed over the years?
Cool. So you're right. I guess the first challenge that I entered into was very much focused around changing my body at the time. Still wanting to get back into fitness and health, but I guess the main focus at that time was to change my body. And you're right, over the years, it has changed, primarily, I guess, because I've had kids. So on both of those occasions, obviously, you gain a bit of weight and you want to sort of pull back and just get movement back into the body. And so then this year, I guess my goal again was about fitness and health. Although I stayed fairly fit throughout my pregnancy, I did want to just get my body back into the state that it was. Mm-hmm. So the shape with the strength that I had, with the agility that I had, wanting to really get back to sort of where I was prior to pregnancy. And I've probably exceeded that well and truly now.
Yeah. Well, could you speak a little bit about what it was like going through pregnancy, you know, then going through postnatal and then trying to get back into fitness? Because it's a common thing that happens within women. They're at a certain level of fitness, maybe in their 20s, they have a child and that fitness level drops. And then when they go back into exercise, they kind of look back just a year ago or 2 years ago being like, wow, I was so fit, but now I've just had a baby and I've lost all this fitness. And it's almost like this daunting task being like, oh, I've got so much work I have to put in to get to back to where I was. So could you speak a little bit about that I guess the mindset side of it, what was it like going from this level of fitness, having a child, and then having that feeling of, oh, I've got to put in so much work to get back to where I was, let alone even more than that? What was that process like?
Really hard, actually. And I found that second time around with my second son, for whatever reason, it was harder again. So just moving your body the way that you used to after pregnancy is very different. It certainly was for me. I can remember going to the physio about 3 weeks after I'd had my little boy just for a check, and she gave me some really basic exercises to do, like half a crunch and just lifting your knee up while laying on your back. And I found those things really hard. And at that point, I was thinking, how am I ever going to deadlift 60 kilos again? I'm struggling to properly lift one knee to my chest. I had quite a bit of ab separation with my second son, so that sort of changed a fair bit within my core. The challenge has helped immensely doing all of the weight training to get that back into good shape. But yeah, it is really daunting just getting that movement back into your body, trying to catch up with that fitness again. And for me, it's just taken a long time. And I think for me, I just had to accept that it wasn't going to be a one challenge process for me. In fact, it was three. Mm-hmm. So just about really giving yourself time to heal and to build back up again.
Yeah. But you did build back up again, right?
Yes, indeed. Yes, definitely. And I think I've probably exceeded the point where I'm at now in terms of strength and fitness is better than where I was prior to pregnancy. So
Yeah. So I think that's the important thing to remember, that you will build back up, right? And even though you might be in a really maybe negative mental space, maybe your fitness isn't there, but you will build up. Let that be post-pregnancy, let that be post-injury, you will build back up if you put the effort in.
Definitely. Yep, definitely.
Now, Jess, the next question here is all about learning, right? So over your time in completing the challenge and living the fitness and health lifestyle, could you speak a little bit about some things that you might have learned along the way?
Sure. So with food particularly, my husband and I now are fairly experimental with trying to make food not only taste good without sort of adding empty calories, but to get that fullness, because I've just got a huge appetite. And I know a lot of people who do this challenge look at the food plan and go, how on earth will I ever eat that much food? To be honest, I look at it and think you could double that and I would probably still not be satisfied. Like, I really do like to eat. So we focus heavily on trying to put as much fulfilling foods into our meals every day to make sure that we don't then get tempted to eat something because we've become hungry. So, for example, we eat a truckload of green veggies, which are just sort of fillers that you can eat without adding too many calories. Lots of water, obviously. So that's probably the biggest thing we've learned. Also, just making yummy desserts out of just oats, like an oat cake with protein powder in the microwave, a bit of baking powder, delicious. In terms of training, I guess I've loved the circuit work that is in the Tone and Shape. Never used to train like that. I would always just do my three sets of one exercise and move on to the next muscle group, but really, really enjoyed the circuits and I'll keep on doing those. Yeah, that's probably, and just working on my mindset. I guess if I did another challenge in January, those feelings would creep in again, I'm sure, about this is not working, you're not doing enough. But I still think that every time I get better at it.
Yeah, I like it. Full-feeling foods. Try saying that a few times without a bit of a tongue twister. Full-feeling foods. Okay, let's talk about some of the foods that you might have introduced into your diet to help you feel full. And you kind of mentioned a little bit about maybe green, fibrous vegetables. Were there any other food groups that you might have looked at and being like, hey, these foods really make me feel full compared to other foods? Did you notice any trends?
Yes. In terms of grains, oats is always one for me that makes me very satisfied. Mm-hmm. I think I can eat a piece of bread and just be wanting for another one. I think rice is also another one that gives me a fuller feeling, probably more so than like pasta, for example, and that might change between people. But yeah, I'm probably a big fan of rice and oats in terms of grains. Mm-hmm. And then salad is probably not particularly filling, but we have large salads with lots of baby spinach and celery and capsicum and everything green that you can imagine. Mm-hmm. And by the time you chew through that, you're feeling relatively satisfied. So
I like it. Well, when we look at how filling foods are, or the satiety index, it's really closely linked to, well, one, the fiber content. So foods with higher fiber, and that's really closely linked to things such as like the GI index, things that are high GI versus low GI, that can help us feel full. But most of it comes down to the fiber content of the food, which is why the meal plans are so high in vegetables to help us feel full. Yeah. And we know that vegetables are really quite high in fiber, but then the next step is we decide how do we cook our vegetables? Yeah. Because if you really nuke the vegetables, as in like you boil them, you roast them, you microwave them, you really destroy them, it really kind of breaks down the fiber in them. So you may find that if you're having vegetables that are blended, you can neck vegetables all day and you won't feel full. But if you choose to have a vegetable that's maybe closer to being raw, then it has a much higher fiber intake. So then you feel full from that. Then we look at the skin of the vegetable. So we know that the skin around vegetables are quite high in fiber as well. So if you're having your vegetables with the skin on, you may find that you are feeling fuller because there's more fiber in the foods than if you take the skin off. But then fiber also works in the other way as well, where we can have some side effects of really high fiber intakes. Yeah. One being episodes of bloatingness. So if you are feeling really bloated and you're trying to have more fiber to feel full, that's probably why you're feeling full, because the fibers in your gut bacterium is trying to break it down. And then as the body breaks down some of the fiber, it releases gas, right? Which may lead to flatulence or feelings of gas, and then also some bloatingness. So fiber is an interesting one where we need adequate fiber for proper digestion, but then sometimes too much can be problematic and sometimes too low can be problematic. So it's just really much like a Goldilocks complex where we have to find the right balance. Fiber, big one. If you're feeling hungry, we want to be looking at fiber. Then the next kind of things that we look at is water content, like you've mentioned, also how many fats we're consuming, because fats take a bit of time to digest. So that can also manipulate our hunger. There's a little bit of education. Maybe you know this already, but hopefully you've just learned something if you're listening to the podcast there. Jess, the next question here is about change. So I guess I'm going to assume that your life has changed quite a bit since starting the challenge way back in 2014 to 2020. Now, can you speak a little bit about how your life has changed? Maybe the day-to-day on the things that you prioritize, or maybe in the bigger picture. Can you speak a little bit about change?
Sure. So it's changed. Well, it really changes every part of my life. Exercise and training is now very high priority for me. So it's really a not negotiable. I will set out whatever my plan is, whether that's 4 days of training, two cardio, or five training, one cardio. And I will make all of those sessions fit into the week. Sometimes with kids and life, it might not be at the time or the day that I want to do it, but I'll catch it up somehow. With food, our life is pretty much revolves around food preparation. So we tend to do a big cook up every 2 to 3 days. Mm-hmm. So I'll just make a huge salad, a huge bowl of veggies, make some protein of whatever it is, and that goes into the fridge. We eat it for a couple of days and then start again. So that's nice and convenient. It works for us. It works for the kids. In terms of how I feel, that's probably the biggest change, just being confident to throw clothes on that you know you're going to fit, you know it's going to look good. That's probably been one of the biggest changes, just feeling comfortable in my own skin. Yeah.
I love that. Can we speak a little bit about your meal prep strategies? So you said that you would do like a big kind of cook up every couple of days. Was it like every maybe 2 or 3 days, something like that?
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. And you would prep a lot of the vegetables side of things and then a protein source, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yep. So we just mix the protein source up usually. Like we'll eat chicken for 2 days and then it might be mince and then it might be salmon. That's sort of a typical rotation that we have. Mm-hmm. And there's generally always a large salad prepared and a large tub of steamed veg.
Yeah. So when it comes to mealtime, you kind of just grab a little bit of the protein source, grab a bit of the vegetable, and then it's on a plate or in a Tupperware container or something and you're off for your day. Something like that? Yeah. I do a very, very similar thing where I'm not a fan of cooking up a big week's worth of food on like a Sunday and then putting it all into little Tupperware containers and everything's in the freezer or the fridge or anything like that. I'm not a big fan of that personally. It works really well for some people, not for me. I do a similar thing where I'd cook a serving of protein and that usually rotates between like chicken or beef and actually fish quite frequently. And that would go into one large container in the fridge and that would be a couple of days worth of meals for me. And then I have another big container of just mixed vegetables, which would just be seasonal vegetables, whatever is actually on sale just at the local fruit and veg shop. And that would just go in a container. And then meal prep for me is a spoonful or sometimes a handful of the protein source, depending on what it is, and then a handful of veg, and then there's my meal for the time. And it's interesting that without guidance, these are some of the strategies that we all kind of adhere to, where we might start off being like, oh yeah, I'm going to follow what the bodybuilder bros do and have them in the little cupboard containers. And then that slowly adapts into a strategy like you and I complete. And it all works for individual people. And that's the unique part, is that some things will work for some and some will work for others. But at the end of the day, we're all trying to achieve a similar goal, right? Jess, my last question for you is about advice. So if someone was about to start their fitness journey or about to start the challenge themselves, and they came to you asking for advice, what information and advice would you give that person?
I think the biggest thing that I would say is, if at first you don't succeed, try again. And I think my experience this year has been very indicative of that. Sometimes, for whatever reason, this doesn't just work in a 12-week period for you. Life is busy, it's hectic. You might get sick, you'll probably get an injury, something might happen with the kids, you might lose your job. There's a lot of things that can happen that will impact your journey. But it's important, I think, to take it on as a lifestyle change. And, you know, if you haven't hit the goal that you want to hit, do another challenge. Try again. The first two challenges I did this year, I achieved some results and some progress. It wasn't as obvious and it certainly wasn't as significant as in the September challenge, but I, you know, achieved some progress nonetheless, which would have helped me get to where I finally got to in September. So yeah, just keep cracking away at it. For me, this is really a lifestyle change, and this is, you know, how I want to live my life. This is the food I want to eat. This is the training I want to do. This is how I want to feel. So I'll just stay on this track.
I love it. It's quality advice. Jess, I want to take a moment to thank you for donating some of your time to be part of the Challenge podcast, and a big congratulations for making the top 10. You've shown us that if you don't succeed, just try again. And over the years, you've gotten better and better and better and improved your approach to the challenge, and so much so that you've made the top 10. So big congratulations. And I know that you will inspire so many people to live a healthier and a fitter life, both in your personal circles and friendships and family, and then also in our online community. So for that, I thank you.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.